Hey everyone, it's Andy Bueller, high school sports reporter and host of the Scorebook Live Today podcast. So the coronavirus has shut down schools and halted high school sports, but we're taking things up a notch in hopes to help during this time of great uncertainty. Each day we're releasing a special episode of this podcast called Dickow's Quarantine Series, where our own Dan Dickow interviews an expert in their respective field, from coaches to trainers, authors to former standout athletes. Subscribe to this podcast for free, and please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Let's keep everyone safe by washing your hands and following the governor's stay-at-home mandate. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. Here's Dan Dickow after a word from our sponsor. Are you a small business impacted by the coronavirus? Washington Federal is here to help. Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live, and it's offering a five-year business line of credit with 90 days interest for free to businesses that have seen a 10% or greater drop. Apply now to receive up to $200,000 on business lines of credit. The folks at Washington Federal understand small businesses may need an emergency loan. They're doing their best to help during this global pandemic. If you're a small business owner who needs help, head to wafdbank.com to apply. Questions? Email business.lifeline@wafd.com.
Dan Dickow, Scorebook Live, Washington, with a special guest on our podcast today. A author wrote a phenomenal book that I think all high school athletes, coaches, and parents should read called Water the Bamboo. His name is Greg Bell. Greg, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you being a part of the podcast today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, Dan. I certainly appreciate it. I've admired your career over the years, and I love what you're doing now.
Well, we're trying to bring a light and attention to high school sports because of the changes in the market, and knowing that high school sports are so valuable to the communities that people live in day to day, and it's a piece that really can bring people together. So appreciate you joining again, and let's get right to it. So you grew up in Northeast Portland, went to the University of Oregon, played basketball for a couple years. As you grew up, was there a coach that was very influential in your path as a player?
Yeah, I would have to say that probably my dad. He was my coach, you know, when I was in middle school, and he was a real fan of John Wooden, and just some of the principles that he taught, I learned through my dad. But that was really important growing up, to you know, in terms of putting in effort and doing those little things, and you know, just to sort of further my career, not just in basketball, but just on a professional level as well.
You hear that all the time about dads that are coaches and can kind of motivate and instill a work ethic and a love and a passion for the game in kids. You now have transitioned into being an author, a motivational speaker. I'm sure you've come across many very positive examples of a dad coaching their son. Are there any of those examples that come to mind quickly for you that you can share?
Well, I just think it's one of those things. I think it's whether it's a dad or a mom or whatever. Some of it is just simple stuff, you know, just showing up for your kid. Just showing up, you know. I think that I've seen a lot of folks do that, just kind of show up in a personal way. You know, most recently, obviously, tragically, you know, Kobe, how he showed up for his daughter, Gigi. But I think in a lot of ways, I think parents are sort of super important to get their kids going in sports. You know, obviously, we've seen people go a little too far with it. But part of for me is, there's probably not anybody in particular, but I just love how people show up, you know, taking their kids here and there, training and all of that. I think that's what I think about even with my own daughter, is about how to build a relationship with her. Who cares what the results are? But having relationships through sports is critical. Just as you said at the start, just how it builds community, how it builds, fosters work ethic, leadership. so much involved there. So I think there are, you know, tons of parents, as not anybody in particular I'd point out.
There's unfortunately, there's a pandemic going on across not just the country, but the world. And so it's giving a lot of people time to spend more time with their family, to look towards themselves and things that they want to improve upon. When I kind of looked back for Scorebook Live and how we were going to structure a lot of our podcast interviews at this time, I thought you would be a perfect guest, so I appreciate you joining. And one of the reasons I thought you would be a perfect guest is because you've written a book called Water the Bamboo, and it's a book that I've read two or three different times. And each time I read it, I've come up with one or two nuggets that have kind of really hit home for me, and I've really tried to focus on at different times. Can you give a brief overview of what Water the Bamboo means to you as an author, and how an athlete, a coach, a parent can begin to apply some of these values and characteristics, not only in their life at this moment in time, but also their athletic career?
Yeah, thank you. Water the Bamboo is really about really long-term success. Giant timber bamboo farmers will take a seed and they'll bury it deep in the ground, and they'll water it for years before they ever see it touch the surface. In fact, sometimes it takes 5 to 7 years before the bamboo will even rise. And giant timber bamboo is super unique. There's 1,500 species of bamboo, but giant timber bamboo is super special. And if you water this bamboo for 5 to 7 years, what will happen is it'll grow 90 feet in 60 days. I mean, Dan, it's literally a foot and a half a day. And they found a grove that grew 4 feet in one day. And if you think about that growth, that success, or what have you, it is absolutely remarkable. But if you think about all that time it takes, the grinding, the practicing, the working, and all that, no one is watching that. And while you're doing it, people will tell you it won't work, and why you're spending all that time trying to do that. And what you tell them is to mind their home bamboo. So for me, I've studied successful people, successful teams, almost all my life. And what I know about them is they all water the bamboo, whether they know it or not. You have to keep grinding and watering no matter what's going on, whether it's a challenging time as it is right now with the coronavirus, whether it doesn't even matter. You have to continue to water. Sure, you can make excuses about not watering. Well, it's not going to work out anyway. My season's over. People can do that. But I always say work on the right side of the tee. Remember that when, you know, the things I can control on the left side, on the right side are the things I can't control. Bamboo farmers work on that side all the time. It's really about the watering. A lot of people want the results, you know, the 90 feet in 60 days, but not everyone is willing to water that way, you know, to keep that kind of effort going. Super important to think about. So what is it you can do today to get you to the future that you want to have? And it's really about the action. The intent is good, but it's actually more about the action that you take that'll make the bamboo grow.
Such a powerful message about how looking at a bamboo farmer and something as simple as a bamboo tree can be kind of a metaphor for life and metaphor for athletes. You mentioned studying successful people. It's been fairly well documented in different stories for college basketball that you were college roommates with my head coach in college, Coach Mark Few at the University of Oregon. When you talk about looking at successful people and how they water their bamboo, Coach Few, I think, is a great example of it, because he paid his dues as an assistant coach at Gonzaga for 10 years. He finally gets his opportunity to take over a program, and he builds it brick by brick. And many times other programs, colleges came wanting him to take over their program, but he had a belief in Gonzaga, and he had a belief in the Spokane community that what was possible at other places was absolutely possible at Gonzaga. And they finally made it to a Final Four. When you look at the arc and the trajectory of his career, is there something that stands out about him with his personality, his characteristics, his approach that more people could look at and try to emulate?
Wow, that is a great question, Dan. That is a really for 10 years. But you actually have to walk back even further because he tried to be a high school coach at his old high school, Creswell High School in Oregon, and they rejected him. They didn't hire him. And he was devastated by that, if you think about it. So he could have quit right then. You know, my own high school won't hire me to be a coach. You know, it's just very interesting. He could have just walked away. I'm done. Why should I ever coach? I think his vision and his passion for coaching was way stronger than any rejection that could happen along the way. If you sort of think about it, even winning, sometimes people get in problems because they think they're all that. But I think for him, sort of think about it, the seed in his mind, I'm going to be a coach, was so strong that it was unwavering. So, you know, so if you go back to that, even that story, there were so many people even along the way that probably told him, you know, maybe you should just go ahead and teach. Maybe you should go to the safer route. And I think that almost like a, I would say, you know, truly a bamboo farmer in that sense that I have faith that this is going to work out to keep grinding that way. I think that started early in his life. I think it starts pretty darn early. Like somebody that's listening to this podcast right now is grinding on something and people are doubting whether they're going to make it. I mean, the old story of Michael Jordan getting cut from his high school team. I look at that job opportunity for Coach View in the same way. And what I also think that you can peel back from this is he keeps it pretty simple. He just waters one bucket a day, one bucket at a time. A lot of people try to drown the bamboo, right? And the problem with that is you can put all this energy into something and then you quit because you've spent all your energy. But he actually does bit by bit every single day. It's really about consistency, consistently showing up for what you want, being really clear about what you want because there's a lot of naysayers out there. And I think that part of it, his character comes through, even in his teams. They kind of keep showing up, and they keep showing up, possession after possession. I think it's really an important thing to think about. It's really not about the bamboo. It's more about the watering, the consistent effort. That's really what I think Coach View exemplifies.
I love the fact that it's the consistent effort. I think in these kind of uncertain times for a lot of people, athletes in particular, it's the consistent effort that I think is going to help a lot of people stay ready for when their opportunity comes. In your book, Water the Bamboo, it's broken into 21 different steps. And while I was preparing and kind of going back through the book before we had this conversation, I thought there were two chapters or two focus points that really hit home with me. I'd like to get a chance to ask you on these two if you have a few more minutes.
Absolutely.
So the first one that really kind of jumped out at me that fits this day and age would be chapter 12, where you talk about optimism. What would a message be for, again, parents, coaches, and athletes to be optimistic, not knowing when they're going to be able to get back in a gym or knowing when they can get back on a soccer field or a football field, a baseball diamond with their teammates and their coaches?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's really challenging, I think. But one of the things that I always know is that in any kind of tough situation, any kind of crisis, your competitor might be working a little bit harder than you. I would just say for me in terms of optimism, just think about it. Somebody after this is over is going to thrive. Why not you? Why not you? It's super important to sort of think about that because if somebody's going to be doing squats and push-ups and shooting or whatever they can do, you know, not focusing on the left side of the ledger, the things that you can't control, but focusing on the right side of the ledger, well, that's really an important thing about the bamboo farmer. Now, we're talking 4 or 5 years out, right? So what I'm saying is, what is it that you can do today to help your future self? Super important for an optimist to think about. Now, a lot of times people, when we talk about optimism, they use that analogy as the glass half empty or is it half full. The reality is, it's both. The question is, what are you going to emphasize? Are you going to emphasize what you have or emphasize what you don't have? That's actually the subtle difference. It's both half empty and half full. The optimist just focuses on what they can do and what they do have. And that's super important for us all to be thinking about. What is it I can do today that is going to pay off long term? I really need to have folks focus on that. But optimism, we can't look at it alone. I think it needs to be connected to a vision for what you want, how you want your life to be, how you want to be in your sport, how you want to be in your life. Those things have to be connected to that vision and your values. Super important. Otherwise, optimism on it in itself can kind of fade for people, but I think it's also connected to having a vision for what you want to do and purpose. That's super important to keep the optimism going.
Some really powerful words, and I think that last little bit that you talked about leads me from optimism to the next chapter that really stuck out for me, commitment, because you've got to be an optimist knowing things are going to work out, but you have to commit to something daily. But there's a fine line between committing and overcommitting at the start, where an overcommitting is going to be very hard to keep up with day to day. Where would you have any tips on how to make a commitment at a level that can be sustainable?
Yeah, I think that's really a great question, because what I'm trying to focus on is just in my personal life and help my kids with, and you know, they're in sports too. So one thing I know is that we have commitment to some big vision. I think you need to do something every single day to water that bamboo, if you will. And I think you need to do it early. I try to get my hard stuff done before 11 a.m. The hard things in my life, I get up and I take care of. I say, you know, only water the bamboo, only commit to it when you feel like it. Just feel like it every day about 6 a.m. This morning, I got up and I wrote. I wrote from 6 a.m. to 9. I do that every day. I do it because I'm committed to my bamboo. And I think it's really important for people to do the hard things first. Because what will happen? Well, you should go for your sprint. You're going to do some sprints or runs or whatever you're going to do in your sport. And you say, oh, I'll just wait till this afternoon to do it. And then this afternoon comes around, you go, I'll take a nap. And you never do it consistently. Wake up while you have the energy to do it and handle it. Take care of it. Do the hard things first. And do it consistently and build that habit of just doing the hard things first. That's how great ones win. That's really how the bamboo farmers win in the long run, is doing it early, identifying it, knowing what their priority is, and taking care of it. This notion of overcommitment, though, is really important, because if you have too many goals and too many priorities, that means you have none. It's too much. You know, you have to really know what it is. The word priority was not a plural word until the turn of the century. So the question the bamboo farmer always has to ask is, what is my priority? What's the number one thing I need to do today? What's that? And if you know what that is, go do it. If you don't know what it is, you need to figure it out. Because sometimes we go, well, I'm going to do a little bit of this, 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 and it's just, it's okay. I think when you think about a bamboo farmer, they do one thing really well, really, really well. And my question always is, what's that one thing for you? What's that one thing for the athlete? What's that thing you need to really take care of?
Some more great words. Really appreciate the time today. I just have one last question. For athletes, again, in this uncertain time, as well as maybe coaches, there's such a networking and relationship factor in sports, and quite frankly, in any business, in any industry. How would you recommend people going about at this time, where, you know, people are having to stay at home, but the advent of social media as well as the internet are really helpful things to grow your network? How do you balance growing your network through a medium like social media platforms but not take it overboard where you kind of fall into that trap of spending too much time or relying or focusing on the negatives that are out there on those platforms?
Yeah, wow, that's really good. I put myself on a media diet lately. part of the reason I put myself on a media diet is, you know, you go on the internet or go on your phone or your social media, and you go on for a reason, but, you know, an hour later, you're somewhere else. And so you can't give your own projects done. So I totally get that. So I say somehow we need to actually prioritize and limit that bit. And the way I do it is actually I do the hard stuff first, you know, as I said, from 6 to 9 or from 6 to 11, try to do the things I really need to do to make my future self successful. Take care of those. And then in the afternoon, if I go on, I limit how much time I am there. But to the social distancing is an important thing for us all to do, but it's really not social distancing. It's actually physical distancing. So part of it is we need to actually get on the phone, call our friends, text our friends, use those mediums, but don't be used by them. So if you think about, for a bamboo farmer, one of the chapters in the book is Don't Farm Alone. And if you think about it, we can highlight, as we did earlier, Coach View. But if you think about his assistant coaches and the people around him and his network, help him be successful. We have this myth that it's the singular genius, the singular person. It's not true. They all have support systems around them. And I always think about my bamboo circle. One question we all have to ask is, who's in my bamboo circle? It doesn't have to be 100 people, but 5 really good quality people can help me be successful. And we need to contribute to those people as well. So it's not just a one-way street, me, 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 but I need to contribute to those relationships in a way that can help them thrive as well. And so when I think about your question, as I said, it's a really good one because I believe that relationships will give you all the results you want. That idea of finding models, people who are maybe more advanced than you are. The models show us where we can go. They, if they can do it, then it's possible for me too. Really important to sort of think about that. So who are your models and your mentors? But then you also have to reach back. Who can you help pull up? And so whether, it doesn't matter what the medium is, whether it's a cup of coffee or on the phone or Twitter or LinkedIn or however you're connecting, but you have to be authentic in your relationships to get the results. But also go there to contribute and to help people. A lot of people are going out there to get, and people can feel that, and it doesn't really work. That's my view on it.
You've had some really good thoughts, some great points. I appreciate you joining the Scorebook Live podcast, Greg. If anybody wants to learn more about how to find the Water the Bamboo book or any more information on any of the stuff that we've talked about today, where can they find it?
Well, they can go to gregbellspeaks.com or go on Amazon. Water the Bamboo is out there. I have a new book out called What's Going Well. I believe it's the question that can change everything. I also just did an audio book for that. But if you went to gregbellspeaks.com, people could find me and also go on Amazon and a lot of stuff out there.
Awesome. Again, I really appreciate your time. It's been too long since we've connected. Obviously, you know, we've got a lot of similar friends and similar people within our network, but always good to connect. Thanks for joining, and everybody go check out gregbellspeaks.com, and thanks for listening.
Thank you, dear.